Always glad to be co-hosting once a month with my good friend. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. I'm really, really glad to be on the show. I always am. What a privilege it is to get to come on the show and how much I enjoy it. So thank you for having me here. And so, you know, I've been thinking many of the topics, the issues that we've talked about, especially in the last 3 years, maybe. And I look at things, you know, students on campuses supporting Hamas. And, you know, I see some of these stories and I think, what is wrong with people? And I have the answer. The problem with people is they're blind. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, people perish. And one translation says, they cast off restraint. And if ever we've seen a culture that has cast off restraint, it's where we're at today. And it's because there's no vision, there's no revelation, there's no spiritual sight. And I think that is the root problem right now in our society. Now, when we talk about spiritual blindness, and Jesus said it, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, or that which is born of spirit is spirit. And he talked about spiritual blindness. And much of the time when Jesus spoke, people just didn't understand his parables and his symbolism. Even his own disciples sometimes were a little goofy about that stuff. But the fact is that the scripture talks about spiritual blindness. And so what I want to do, we're going to do a few parts here. We'll break when we need to and interrupt and comment all you want. The first thing that we have to deal with is what is it that causes spiritual blindness? I think the first cause of spiritual blindness is sin. It dulls our senses. It causes us confusion, and we're not able to see clearly when we walk a lifestyle of habitual rebellion to God and his principles. John chapter 1, in the opening of the gospel, it says, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there was a problem from the start. There was darkness, spiritual darkness, and people couldn't understand the light, couldn't see it. Jesus said, the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light. And again, just to clarify, we're not talking about people who are physically sightless. I've known some folks who were physically sightless, but they were born again, and they knew the Lord, and they had tremendous spiritual insight. And so we're not talking about the physical thing, we're talking about the spiritual thing. So spiritual blindness, we're saying the first thing that causes it is sin. Ephesians 4 says this, they walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding because of the hardness of their heart. So it's a heart issue here that's at stake. And people who harden their hearts do not see the kingdom of God. Romans 1, we talked about this recently, the opening part of Paul's great thesis. And it says this, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So there's a progression that happens. People can start off understanding that there's a God and some of the things about him, but they turn their back on that. Their hearts are darkened. And interesting there, it begins with not glorifying God or giving him thanks. And I've done many Thanksgiving sermons about the importance of giving thanks and the dangers of not. So their hearts were darkened. And 1 Corinthians 2, the natural person, that is someone who isn't born of the Spirit, someone who's still living in sin, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
So okay, let me interject at this point, Jim, because I want to make a very important clarification of what that verse is saying and what that verse is not saying. Because one of the problems that I run into all the time is people say, well, you can't just read the Bible and understand it. We need to pray and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. Now, that can lead to cults. When Mormons do that and say we need Joseph Smith to explain it, Christians jump all over them. And yet these very same Christians at the beginning of their prayer meetings will pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten them while they're reading the scripture. And that assumes that the Holy Spirit didn't speak clearly the first time. Now, there is a spiritual blindness. We're both in agreement that the Bible talks about that a lot, and they are talking about it here. But what that means is we read what the Word of God says, and we understand what it says, but we think it's foolish. I read parts of the Bible before I became a Christian. I said, this is stupid. Only a moron would believe this stuff. After I was saved, I looked at it, and and I said, this is wisdom. And I related to it because I had turned from my sins and I had been convicted of my sins. But I understood that they were talking about sin and talking about a savior. So that's just a very, very important distinction that I want to make.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. I never read a Bible until I was 16 years old and someone challenged me and I started reading it and kind of blew me away. And I looked at the claims of Jesus Christ and I kind of fell into that thing that C.S. Lewis talked about. Jesus was either crazy or a liar or what he was saying was true. And I eventually came to the conclusion that he was telling the truth about himself and I surrendered my life to him. And that was a long time ago and I never turned back. But it was a matter of, yes, if you've been born of the Spirit, if you're a Christian, if you've been saved, you're going to understand things that you didn't understand before about the kingdom of God. And again, we're talking about the spiritual world versus the natural world. When Jesus started his earthly ministry, he went into the temple and they handed him a scroll. And it was from Isaiah. And he said that the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You shall keep on listening, you shall not understand. And you shall keep on looking, but you shall not perceive. For the heart of his people has become dull, and their ears scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. He's talking about spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and the things, the matters of the spirit, the things in the heart. He talked about this principle over and over again, kind of ticked off the religious leaders. He said, if you didn't say that you had no sin, you'd be okay. But because you think you're okay, you're blind. We would say in denial. And I think there's just an awful lot of that going around. And it happens with religious people. So we're not exempt. Just because you became a Christian or go to church doesn't mean that you're immune to deception. We'll go into that in a little while. You have to be very, very careful, very cautious. Check everything against the scripture. You hear some preacher or teacher talking about stuff and it just sounds a little weird to you. You know what? Get your Bible out and study it and find out if what they're saying really lines up with the scripture. I believe in that wholeheartedly. So the first thing that causes spiritual blindness is sin. Now, the second thing, and this is going to be a little controversial for some people, and they're going to go, oh, Jim's getting all spooky here. I'm just going to read some scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 4 says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. They're veiled. In other words, there's something that's shielding their vision. And he talks about the God of this world. He's talking about the devil. Yes, I believe there really is a devil.
And he's not an alternate God. The word theos in Greek could also be translated as magistrate. So he is ruling this world because God, due to the sin, gave it over to him. But he's we're not talking about different deities, one evil, one good. There's only one God. There's only one deity.
Yeah, absolutely. Most Bibles translate that with a small g, just to kind of help clarify that. It's Paul talking, and he's using language that people would recognize. So he says that the God of this world. Now, he also says in chapter 11 of that same book that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And this is another thing about the devil. He doesn't show up in red pajamas with a pitchfork and say, I'm here to destroy your soul. You know what? He shows up all over the place, but he's very clever. He's subtle, it says. And he disguises himself. He deceives people. And he will pretend to be an angel of light, which, by the way, you mentioned the Mormon church. And, oh, I'm sorry, Mitt Romney, I don't want to offend you. You know, the angel Moroni that gave the revelation, well, his other title is he was the angel of light. I don't know how they missed that.
Because it says in Galatians, even if we or an angel should preach to you a gospel different than what you've heard, and they're hearing a different gospel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Mormons are great allies politically, and they share a lot of our conservative values, so we mean no disrespect, but it is pretty bad theology.
Just they have some serious problems. But now, Ephesians 2 says, the prince of the power of the air is the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And my wife, Leslie, who you've met a few times, she one time had this insight to that. And she said, you know, he's the prince of the power of the airwaves. That was a great insight.
The prince of the power of the mainstream media.
Mainstream media. But he does work in this world. And, of course, one of my favorite passages in chapter 6 of Ephesians, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Okay, so we're back to that. We're not talking about the natural things, the flesh and blood things, material things. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul absolutely affirms that there is a spiritual warfare and that there are beings and that there is a devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, who is hard at work trying to deceive people and defeat Christians. In fact, 1 John 5 says, this is wild, says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so, you know, you're back to that thing. Remember Jesus said that the way to life is a narrow path and the broad way leads to destruction. It isn't the majority of people that find salvation, and it's because of spiritual blindness. And so the first thing that causes spiritual blindness is our own sin, the fact that we're fallen. We are fallen beings, so that leads to a lot of problems. Then we have an enemy, the devil, who is always trying to deceive us. Jesus said, there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There's a third thing that causes spiritual blindness, and I think it's one of the things we're dealing with very seriously right now in our culture, and that is that we are blinded by the lies of false teachers. And we are just inundated with false teachers in our culture right now. Even religious leaders sometimes. Jesus called them blind guides of blind people. And if a person is blind leads another who is blind, they will both fall into the pit. And that's actually become a colloquialism. We talk about the blind leading the blind. And my goodness, it seems to me we have an awful lot of that going on in our society right now. I think some people are just sucked in, and I won't say innocently because they don't do their homework, but they buy into these things. They buy into the woke culture. They drink the Kool-Aid and follow the agenda, but it's because someone else has been force-feeding them these lies. Boy, I see it all around us right now. Jesus said many false prophets will rise up and mislead many. And because lawlessness has increased, people's love will become cold. It seems to me people love to talk about love and they sing about it, but the truth is there's hatred on every front. People are violent, they're angry, and love has become cold in many, many people. And it's because they've been deceived by false prophets. In Timothy, Paul says that in later times, some will fall away, which implies that they were people who were walking with God, that they will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons by means of hypocrisy, liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. You know, you mentioned it earlier. There are people that believe in God, and they might even at a certain point profess to be Christians, but they can be deceived into believing false doctrines and lies and things that are destructive that really can reap some bad consequences in their lives and in other people's lives. And, you know, I've been around long enough. You've certainly seen it. The damage that can be done when people get off onto these tangents and these weird cults or just extreme religious ideas that are not fully supported by the scripture. And it's destructive. I've seen people's faith shipwrecked because they listened to false teachers. That's why I'm glad for shows like yours and ministries like yours, Creative Evangelism. You're not afraid to deal with questions, but you will give an answer that is reasonable and scriptural and honest. And we need a lot more of that. And so, again, thank you for what you do, Bob, because I know you have fought on the front lines of this whole issue of the war for truth. And
I appreciate the encouraging words. And, of course, you have fought right there, too.
We are allies. We are brothers in arms. And I know you may sometimes feel like, as I did, maybe I'm not getting much done, I'm not affecting people, but I'm going to tell you, there are people whose lives you've touched, people who you've spoken into their lives, and they were changed. And you might not even hear from them until we all get to heaven and they say, hey, remember me? I sat in a crowd one time and you were teaching and it really challenged me. And I gave my life to God because of you. And I embraced Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I think you're going to have some of those that you weren't even aware of.
I think I will, too. There have been times when I'd visit a campus that I had been at before, and some student would introduce himself and say, you never met me when you were here last time, but I used to come out every day into the plaza and listen to you, and I'd run out here after lunch. So I did view that as just a little preview of what it will be like in heaven, where there's so many more that we were unaware of.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I'm sure of that. And I've a couple of times had the joy of hearing from somebody, and they said, you know, way back when I sat in one of your Bible studies, or I listened to you, and it changed my life. And I've had a couple of them that actually went into the ministry, which is profound. So just keep up the good work. Keep doing that. But there will be false prophets and false teachers. Second Timothy, Paul says, a time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. So there is an ownership on behalf of the people who fall into deception because they want to hear. They don't want to hear hard stuff. They don't want to hear, take up your cross and follow me. They don't want to hear, deny everything, follow me at any cost. They don't want to hear, all who will live godly will suffer persecution. People don't like that kind of talk. So they will find someone who's preaching a message that's easier to hear and makes them feel good and tells them, you don't have to change anything, you're fine. And there's so much of that. And sadly, I've had to confront people sometimes for teaching crummy theology. And by the way, theology is not a bad word. I know you know what the word theology means.
Yeah, this just is the study of God.
Study of God.
I didn't realize this was going to be a quiz today, Jim.
Well, I'm just giving you an opportunity. I've heard people talk about, I don't want a bunch of doctrine. Well, doctrine just means teaching. There's nothing wrong with the word doctrine. There's nothing wrong with the word theology. Here's another one. There's nothing wrong with the word religion. James says that there's pure and undefiled religion. It's just that there is also false religion, false doctrine, and bad theology. But those words in and of themselves are not bad words. They're pretty good descriptive words, actually. So there are false teachers all around us, and some of them are in pulpits, and some of them are on microphones behind desks and in front of cameras. We've taken a lot of shots at mainstream media, but my goodness, someone's got to speak up, right? I have friends that are real conspiracy theorists, though some of the conspiracy theories have been turning out to be true.
Yeah. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's actually conspiracy fact.
Yeah, yeah. But that's part of the battle we're fighting with mainstream media and the people who want to control our thoughts and want to lead us astray down their path for their whatever their agenda is that they're pushing. And I think I know what some of that is, but there's a constant battle going on for our minds.
Okay, we'll talk more about this battle for our minds when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Over 50 years in the making.
So we're going to recap here because we're going to run out of time. The issues that we see, the things that alarm us, the things going on in our culture, I'm saying much of those things are caused because of spiritual blindness. And the causes of spiritual blindness. First, we said sin, our own sin blinds us. And then secondly, there is a devil. We have an enemy, the enemy of your soul, the preachers like to say. And he is hard at work to deceive people, even believers. And then we're blinded by the lies of false teachers, whether they're preachers or pundits. There's a lot of deception out there. So to wrap it up, what's the cure then? We have the causes. How can we be healed of our spiritual blindness? And again, Jesus, reading from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And I believe he was talking not only about physical blindness, because he did heal people who were physically blind, but he was talking about spiritual blindness as well. And in that great conversation with Nicodemus about being born again, he said, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I spent many of my years as a pastor trying to encourage my congregation to not just see this material world, but to understand there is a spiritual kingdom, which the truth is, the scripture says, our life is just a vapor. It's over and done before you know it. And you want to invest your life into something that is beyond just this material world, and that is the kingdom of God. And then wrap it up with this, and this is just overused, and I've even critiqued it sometimes because it's talking to Israel, but I think it applies for us. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And again, I know he was talking to the Israelites, but I think it applies. Christians are God's people too. Paul in Romans particularly makes it clear that all of us now, we've been grafted in. So we're all children of God Most High by faith. The just shall live by faith. He said, so I consider myself part of God's people. And so it is incumbent upon us to do these things. Humble ourselves, repent from our wicked ways, pray, seek God's face. And if we do those things, I think there will be spiritual blindness healed. I think the veil will be lifted. I think the scales will fall from our eyes. I think the light will come on and expose the darkness. And it begins with God's people, you see. It says that judgment begins in the house of God. And we're always, you know, we want to call down fire and brimstone on the politicians of Washington, D.C., but you know what? It begins in the house of God, in the pulpit and in the pew. We all need to do this. We need to practice repentance. We need to humble ourselves. We need to, you know what, Bob? I'm sure this will be a big shock to you, but, you know, I have been a Christian for 56 years. And you know what? There have been times when I have failed. There have been times that I've made bad decisions. There have been times, dare I say it, that I have sinned, even after I accepted Jesus. And you know what the beauty is? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And we're all guilty of sin, and those who say they aren't are guilty of the sin of lying.
Yeah, and it says that in that same passage. It says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and you deceive yourself. And if you say you haven't sinned, you call God a liar. So, yeah, we need to admit that. But that's a hard thing once we get religious and go to church and stuff. And by the way, Leslie and I have found a good home church we're attending. I don't know if I told you that already. We're very involved. We're in a home group. And now they've asked me to teach a new believers class. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's great, Jim. Just goes to show a good pastor can never retire. However, we do need to retire this broadcast right now.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure having you, and we will see you again next month.
Thank you.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.